listening to 103.1 FM and 980 AM WPFP Park Falls. This is Trail Mix 103.1.
You're listening to Radio Health Journal, the trusted news source for medicine, science, and technology. I'm Elizabeth Westfield.
I'm Mayan Vasta Betancourt.
And I'm Greg Johnson. This week, how much do you trust your memory?
People are having consistent false memories for certain images that are the same across people.
But first, the ethics of a medical practice that keeps disabled children forever small.
You are trying to keep them small, confine, control, when all of parenting is about trying to support, uplift, open up possibilities.
All that and more this week on Radio Health Journal.
So the thing no one tells you about periods is that your flow changes every day, and so should your tampon size. Tampax has 5 absorbencies to match your changing flow. If it's uncomfortable to remove, go down a size. If it leaks, go up a size. And only Tampax has a leak guard braid to help give you up to 100% leak and odor-free protection, all-day comfort and protection for up to 8 hours for under $5 a month, based on average U.S. consumer usage at manufacturer suggested price. However, pricing is at the sole discretion of the retailer. Excludes A-Count Pack.
You can do it all by yourself, baby girl. What's your name? Let me talk to you. Let me buy you a drink.
Spilled your drink? Quick, the quicker picker-upper. Bounty picks up spills quicker. And each sheet is 2 times more absorbent, so you can use less than the leading ordinary brand. So you can get back to your night. Bounty, the quicker picker-upper.
Growth attenuation may be the most controversial medical treatment you've never heard of. The process usually involves giving high-dose estrogen to children in order to close their growth plates and keep them small for the rest of their life. Since it takes a few years to complete, this therapy is usually done to kids between the ages of 3 and 6.
Growth estrogen has been used to attenuate growth in children for a long time. It was used in the 50s for girls who were going through puberty and who were destined to be tall to make them not as tall, you know, which now we look at it, you've got to be kidding. But sure enough, that's what was done.
That's Dr. Benjamin Wilfond, a bioethicist and investigator at the Truman Katz Center for Pediatric Bioethics and Palliative Care at Seattle Children's Research Institute. While growth attenuation was originally used as a tool for beauty standards, its purpose became more significant in the early 2000s. Two parents approached doctors at Seattle Children's Hospital wanting to use this therapy on their daughter, Ashley, who was born with a severe brain impairment and couldn't walk or talk.
The ethics committee got involved in this in 2004 and listened to the family and considered issues and made a recommendation about this, which acknowledged that this could be potentially done under certain circumstances. They felt it would be ethical to do this.
From ages 3 to 6, Ashley underwent growth attenuation therapy, as well as a hysterectomy to avoid menstruation. Her breast buds were also removed so that she would never develop fully grown breasts. Her parents claimed that this would save her the discomfort that's often associated with female development. A paper was published in 2006 detailing Ashley's procedures. As you could imagine, it garnered a lot of attention and opinions. In response, Wilfond and a colleague decided to host a one-day symposium on the topic.
We heard from a lot of different people and their perspectives, and we had this idea that on the basis of this one-day public meeting, which we were very thoughtful about who we invited to give talks and things like that, as well as questions from the audience, we imagined that we would then be able to sit down and write a paper describing the issues and coming to some consensus. And there was a group of us who helped organize the conference. Make a long story short, the conference was fantastic, but no way did we come to any consensus.
Nearly 20 years later, growth attenuation continues to be a highly controversial topic. In preparation for this segment, our producer reached out to various disability organizations, all of which oppose this practice. David Carlson, Executive Director of Disability Rights Montana, says it may be the one thing the community can agree on.
The disability community is vast and diverse. includes people with HIV and cancer and intellectual disabilities and mental illness and mobility disabilities and sensory disabilities. And they rarely agree on anything. But this issue, I don't think I've ever met someone who identifies as having a disability who likes the idea of growth attenuation. And I think it's because one thing that is common is if you have a disability, you have a long history of having to fight with the people who are supposed to be the helpers, the doctors, the nurses, the lawyers. Everybody seems to think they know what's best for you. And growth attenuation seems to be the height of that, of other people deciding it'd be better if we changed your body than change the way the world works with relationship to your body.
However, there are also numerous parents online who post about how helpful this option has been to their family and their ability to care for their profoundly disabled child.
I deeply feel that it's critically important that we think very carefully about people with profound disabilities and provide the very best care for them. It troubles me that this intervention has been viewed by people who I think very highly of and care much about in a negative way, because I don't see it that way. And I really can see why parents might make this decision. And one of the biggest issues for many parents is not how will I care for my child as their child, but how will I care for them as an adult as I get older? And what happens when I'm no longer able to do that? And that is not an issue that we have solved, in my opinion, in a meaningful way in our society. And it's a very big gap.
Caregiving is the main argument in favor of growth attenuation therapy for kids with profound disabilities. In fact, Ashley's parents made part of their decision on the fact that she was about to grow out of the largest stroller they could find. However, Carlson says they failed to acknowledge the possibility of giving Ashley a wheelchair.
You aren't the first people to realize that strollers only go up to hold 75, 80 pounds, and that people get too long to sit in strollers their entire lives. But the solution is you use the equipment that is very often individually tailored to you, or take measurements and decide, okay, this is how it works. But that requires embracing a wheelchair. And that may be a bit too far. There was a comment back then made that, we don't want our home filled with medical equipment like lifts and wheelchairs. Okay, but if my son comes home and says he wants to play football, I say, but I don't want my house filled with smelly football equipment. That is part of being a parent. Life changes. And yeah, maybe you don't want a lot of medical equipment around, but you know what? Your daughter needs it. So you get it.
Unfortunately, Carlson thinks part of the resistance to getting the child adequate equipment is not accepting the disability. Some parents may hope that by keeping their child small, it makes it look more quote-unquote normal for them to need assistance than if they looked like an adult.
I don't mean this in a harsh way, but there's an attempt to help your child be normal in some way. If a child needs help going to the bathroom, that's normal for a two-year-old. So if I have a child that is more like that physically, regardless of mentally what's going on, and the world is growing and their experiences are growing, at least they aren't othered in this physical realm.
Which is an understandable line of thinking. Life is hard already, and it only gets more difficult if you don't fit society's set standard, both when trying to physically move through the world and constantly having to fight for people to see you as an equal. Carlson says it's often a battle for people with disabilities to embrace their own identity. So it's easy to see why parents would want to find any way to protect their kids from the world's scrutiny.
I haven't heard people with disabilities ever vilify parents who are considering this, but rather saying, I just don't think the parents get what we're seeing as people with various disabilities who have experienced some of these different things, have been in the rooms with doctors or with parents saying they would prefer a different route than I would go, really appreciating and understanding that the disability isn't the bad thing. It's how the world treats people who are outside of the realm of acceptable that is bad.
Ultimately, people on both sides of this debate are trying to find a solution. Carlson says the disconnect comes when the groups identify what the problem is.
They're just looking, I'm fixing a problem, but the problem isn't the person. So don't fix them. The problem is it's hard to get the services you need to live as independently as we would all want to. So let's work on that.
Thankfully, advocacy groups have been successfully working on increasing these types of programs, including funding and access to these opportunities. There are group homes and centers for independent living for people who need more support. But what Carlson believes is more effective is the at-home care available under Medicaid.
We can send the nurse's aides to your house. We can send, you can hire and fire them directly if you want, or you can use an agency if you want, that's fine. But there is money to pay for in-home care to help transfer out of bed in the morning or help with hygiene tasks. If you can't raise your hands to comb your hair, they can help you comb your hair. You might be able to, once you get in your wheelchair, control it and move about the world completely independently, but you need help getting from bed to the chair. Someone else may need help with reminders not to run out into the street. So they don't need just someone in the morning to help them get out of bed. They need someone around them 24/7. That can be funded as well.
Though they may be hard to find, there's currently a broad network of community-based programs for people with profound disabilities. Carlson says by not utilizing these options and instead choosing growth attenuation therapy, we're feeding into the idea that the person needs to fit the service instead of the other way around.
We need people continuing to have our back and fighting to get these services in the community, not saying, if only we could have kept you small, it'd be easier to serve you. It's like, it's not me that's hard to serve. It's the system making sure that we're funding and recruiting properly to get all needs met. Because the support needs are never going to go away. As long as the person is alive, those support needs are going to be there. So whether someone is 68 pounds or 268 pounds, you still need a human being there to deliver support.
Much of the infrastructure needed to care for people with disabilities is already in place. It's just geared towards a different demographic, the elderly. We've already created spaces and programs to aid fully grown adults with their needs. So why does the topic suddenly become abnormal when we apply the same care to people with disabilities? Why is the responsibility suddenly put on the human to change rather than adjusting the system?
This idea that in order to deliver good care, you have to keep the person small. It's like, there are many people who are not small, who are big like me, and still need personal care needs met. So it's not necessary. It is only necessary if you're limiting your experiences to what you've seen before in your child's maturation.
Carlson believes growth attenuation places a distorted lens over the situation that can easily erase the disability experience. In other words, if someone is permanently small and childlike, you feel comfortable treating them as such, even when they're an adult. However, there are more factors that go into a parent's decision to move forward with this treatment, like protection from sexual abuse that's prevalent in this community. Join us next week as we continue to dissect the ethical debate on growth attenuation therapy. You can find more information about Dr. Benjamin Wilfond, David Carlson, and all of our guests on our website, radiohealthjournal.org. For more behind the scenes, follow Radio Health Journal on Facebook, Instagram, and X. Our writer-producer is Kristen Farah. Our executive producer is Amira Zavari. I'm Elizabeth Westfield.
If you're frustrated with occasional bloating and gas, your body is giving you signs. It's time to try Align. Align probiotic was specifically designed by gastroenterologists to help relieve your occasional bloating and gas. When you feel the signs, it's time to try Align.
Coming up, why the Mandela Effect may have you second-guessing everything you thought you knew when Radio Health Journal returns.
After you use Bounce Dryer Sheets and realize how fresh, soft, less wrinkled, and less staticky your laundry can be, you'll
put a sheet on it
every time. Like those socks that smell like they've been through a marathon.
Put a sheet on it.
Or that blanket that's got wrinkles on its wrinkles.
Put a sheet on it.
Maybe even your chatty coworker who keeps distracting you. Okay, Bounce Dryer Sheets can't do it all. But for fresher, softer, better laundry,
put a sheet on it with Bounce.
What's better than one win? Three wins? With Straight Savings, you keep your own phone, get one line for only $25 a month with real unlimited data, and get rewarded with a $200 phone credit after 12 months. It's a win-win-win. Head to Walmart or visit straighttalk.com today. Switch to Straight Talk. Less dollars, more sense. Straight Savings Plan enrollment requires compatible unlocked device and new line of service. Bonus device credit requires 12 months of active service. Offer ends if eligibility requirements are no longer met. Taxes and fees apply. For network management practices, see Straight Talk's terms and conditions.
Unless you have a photographic memory, most of us go through life only remembering key aspects of any given situation. But what if our memory is wrong? In fact, there's been documented cases of thousands of people sharing the same incorrect memory. This phenomenon is called the Mandela effect.
The Mandela effect has been this sort of internet-reported phenomenon where people have a very specific, strong, and importantly, shared false memory for a specific icon from popular culture.
That's Deepashree Prasad, a second-year graduate student at Dartmouth University. She's also the lead author of a 2022 Mandela Effect study that's published in the journal Psychological Sciences. Her co-author, Dr. Wilma Bainbridge, says the Mandela Effect is more than a mere coincidence.
So we know false memories happen in everyday life, but the crazy thing about the Mandela Effect is that we all have the same false memory. So for example, for the logo for Fruit of the Loom, people misremember it as having a cornucopia around the fruit. So it's this very specific false memory. It's not like some people remember it with a plate, some people remember it with a bowl, a cornucopia. It's that we all have this shared specific false memory.
Bainbridge is an assistant professor of psychology at the University of Chicago. She says that while the internet has certainly exposed the prevalence of the Mandela effect, it didn't cause the phenomenon.
So there are actually some reports of Mandela effects happening before the internet. So one famous one is what the Mandela effect was named after. So many people incorrectly think that Nelson Mandela was murdered in the 1980s or died in prison in the 1980s. But in fact, he died in 2013. And so that was the origination of the effect. And I don't think that was internet driven.
Before starting their research, Bainbridge proposed the idea to Prasad by asking her to describe Pikachu from the popular Pokemon series.
I was super into Pokemon. I watched all the TV shows and stuff when I was a kid. So I'm like, oh yeah, he's this like yellow creature. He has like red cheek things. And of course he has a black tip on its tail. And when she told me that wasn't correct and that actually a lot of people falsely remember that he has a black tip on his tail, I didn't believe her at first and had to look it up.
Which was the start of their research into the Mandela effect.
We specifically focus on visual examples of the Mandela effect because there we can look at things like, well, what are people looking at when they make these errors? What if we ask people to draw these icons from memory? What sort of errors do they make?
Until Bainbridge and Prasad's study, most of the research had been focused on conspiracy theories of parallel dimensions.
But we thought an alternate possible explanation for this effect might be something interesting in our memories. And a lot of work in my lab looks at consistency in memory. So you would think you and I, we have differences in our lives growing up. We've seen different faces and places. But what we find in our research is despite everyone's individual differences, there's these huge commonalities in what we remember and forget. So there's some faces that everyone will remember, some faces that everyone will forget. And so we're curious, are there also these commonalities in these false memories that we have?
In order to answer that question, the team researched two basic ideas. Does the Mandela effect truly exist, and can its existence be scientifically proven?
And indeed, yes, we found majority of people make these errors, and they're highly confident about these errors. They're like, this is definitely what Pikachu looks like. This is definitely what the Monopoly Man looks like, but they still get them wrong.
And it's not simply forgetting what a certain icon looks like over time. Prasad says the effect can occur moments after seeing the correct image.
We see that people make these false or include these false visual Mandela features, both when they're trying to remember these icons from like long-term knowledge and when they just like saw the correct icon minutes before being asked about it. And we also see that this works when people to try to recognize the icon. So if we put up a picture of the canonical Pikachu versus the Mandela effect Pikachu, people tend to choose or recognize the Mandela effect Pikachu, even though they saw the canonical Pikachu.
But how is it possible that we all share the same incorrect memories?
Memory is a product of our brains, and we're all human, and we have like the same sort of underlying structure, right? And so what human brains tend to consider important is generally the same across people. So for example, there might be certain features of faces that we all want to attune to more than other features. And so there's commonalities in our experiences with how we want to prioritize information that we see in the world. And this can lead to commonalities in our memory. And so I think that like this is both true for accurate memory and what we forget, and then also what we falsely remember.
Bainbridge says the factors that we'd assume would impact which features we remember are most likely wrong.
So you might think maybe more attractive faces are more memorable, or maybe more distinctive faces are more memorable. But what we're finding is actually it's not that straightforward.
She says attractiveness doesn't have much connection at all to memorability. In fact, we usually can't predict which features we'll remember.
People are bad at guessing what's memorable or forgettable. So a big part of our work is trying to understand what makes something memorable. We think the key is that memorable things, when you can't remember everything, when you see the world, you can't save everything in memory immediately. So we think what we're tapping into is this common way in which our brains prioritize what needs to be saved into memory.
Bainbridge thinks this process may rely on a complex system in the brain, but it's still being researched in her lab. And when trying to connect the concept of memorability to the Mandela effect, the team first thought it could be a product of the schema theory. This idea says our brain will rely on past experiences to understand what's happening in the present.
For example, with the Monopoly Man, you might be filling in your schema of a rich old man, so thinking, oh, he should have a monocle, a cane, and a pocket watch. But that theory doesn't work for things like Fruit of the Loom and the cornucopia, because how many times have you seen a cornucopia in real life, right? When you see fruit, it's probably with a bowl or a plate.
So they ruled out schema theory as a possible answer to what's causing the effect. Next, they thought that maybe people just aren't looking at the whole picture, and so they'd misremember, for example, what Pikachu's tail looks like.
But we find in our study, even if you look at the correct version of Pikachu directly at his tail, a few minutes later, many people still make the same mistake and say that they saw a different version of Pikachu in that experiment. So it's not something about people looking at the wrong places.
And this is just one study. The answer to what causes the Mandela effect, this mass shared false memory, lies in more research. Bainbridge says the next steps are to use more general images instead of popular icons to better understand the phenomenon. She thinks the answer will be able to help different aspects of our lives, such as learning. She says there's also an opportunity to use these findings in criminal justice.
You can imagine there are many cases where people have false memories of who committed a crime. So it would be very helpful to know in advance, are there certain types of people who cause more false memories than others? And if so, we should try and counteract that or make sure that, for example, photos in a lineup are all matched for how much false memories they trigger so that you don't incorrectly identify a suspect just because their face causes false memories.
You can find more information about Deepashree Prasad, Dr. Wilma Bainbridge, and all of our guests on our website, radiohealthjournal.org. For more behind the scenes, follow Radio Health Journal on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. This segment originally aired in September 2022. Our writer-producer is Kristen Farah. Our production manager is Jason Dickey. I'm Greg Johnson.
Radio Health Journal returns in just a moment.
Can your pad absorb everything and stay fresh? Always Radiant with Flex Foam can. Get up to zero leaks, zero odor, and zero feel. Because Flex Foam is the only pad with a flexible foam core. You heard me, foam. Always Radiant is so thin, it feels like nothing, yet protects like nothing else. Can your pad do that? For up to 100% leak-free protection, try Always Radiant to see what Flex Foam can do for you.
Each week on the Viewpoints Radio podcast, you'll hear from our leading experts on an important topic within education, history, society, psychology, and more.
If you can show a good money personality, one where you've got good values around how you acquire, how you use, and how you manage money, those patterns will be passed along generations.
Viewpoints Radio podcast is produced by our team of award-winning journalists. Subscribe today by searching Viewpoints Radio wherever you listen to podcasts.
What's that sound? That's the sound of Downy Unstoppable scent beads going into your washing machine and giving your clothes freshness that lasts all day long. There it is again. It's like music to your ears, or more like music to your nose. That freshness is irresistible. Let's get a Downy Unstoppables bottle shake. And now a sniff solo. Nice. With Downy Unstoppables, you just toss, wash, wow, for all day freshness.
What's better than one win? Three wins? With Straight Savings, you keep your own phone, get one line for only $25 a month with real unlimited data, and get rewarded with a $200 phone credit after 12 months. It's a win-win-win. Head to Walmart or visit straighttalk.com today. Switch to Straight Talk. Less dollars, more sense. Straight Savings Plan enrollment requires compatible unlocked device and new line of service. Bonus device credit requires 12 months of active service. Offer ends if eligibility requirements are no longer met. Taxes and fees apply. For network management practices, see Straight Talk's terms and conditions.
Medical notes this week. Are high prices a barrier to preventing overdoses? New research in the Journal of the American Medical Association reveals that 1 in 3 naloxone prescriptions are not filled. Naloxone can reverse an overdose, but the increased out-of-pocket cost for this medication, about $10, reduces the amount of filled prescriptions. Stigma may also play a role, since up to 8% of prescriptions weren't filled even when they were free. Saliva may be the key to monitoring health. A new study on pregnant women shows that the microbes present in spit vary depending on stress levels, anxiety, and depression. Positive mental health is essential for a mother's well-being and their ability to take care of their child. Scientists hope this finding will help increase early interventions for women experiencing negative mental health symptoms. The research is published in the journal BMJ Mental Health. And finally, do you feel fear? New research in Nature Communications has identified a small part of the brain that suppresses the body's fear response. Until now, this region was thought to primarily be a sensory pathway. The researchers hope that this new discovery can aid targeted treatments for conditions such as post-traumatic stress disorder. And that's Medical Notes this week. I'm Mayan Vosta-Betancourt.
Our daughter Jessie loves playing detective.
A clue.
But since we discovered she has sensitive skin, we've been playing detective too.
We thought the problem was our puppy.
But it was actually our old detergent.
Aha! Uh-huh.
So we switched to Tide Free and Gentle. Tide Free and Gentle provides an excellent Tide clean, and it doesn't leave behind irritating residues like dyes or perfumes, so it's gentle on your skin.
Case closed.
If it's got to be clean, it's got to be Tide Free and Gentle.
Mommy, want to play a game with me and Dad?
Mommy's not feeling good.
You need to vaporize that cold.
Vaporize?
Yeah, with DayQuil VapoCool. It's DayQuil plus a rush of Vicks vapors.
Whoa.
Come on, honey. Let's let Mommy rest.
You guys are amazing. And so is DayQuil VapoCool.
DayQuil VapoCool, the vaporizing daytime coughing, aching, fever, power through your day medicine. And to vaporize sore throat pain, try Vicks VapoCool drops. Use as directed. Keep out of reach of children.
Thank you for joining us this week and every week as we break down the science stories you need to know. You can find all of our past segments and guests on our website, radiohealthjournal.org, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and X for daily content. And tune in next week for another edition of Radio Health Journal.
Downy Rinse and Refresh. Break up with stinky clothes.
Rinse it out.
Every now and then I get a little bit tired of the stinks that just will never come out.
Every now and then I rinse it out. One wash and it delivers.
One wash, it smells so clean.
Downy Rinse and Refresh, it's a dream.
Downy Rinse and Refresh. Fights odor in just one wash. Guaranteed.
Hey folks, this is Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. We have all stopped at a convenience store for a necessity or two. A bottle of water, a half a gallon of milk, or a bag of pickle-flavored potato chips. I mean, those are necessities in your house too, right? But there is a cost for that kind of convenience, as much as 54% more. Now, when I was in my early 20s, like some of you, I may have done most of my shopping at the 7-Eleven around the corner from my apartment. And boy, oh boy, I wish I had known that shopping regularly at convenience stores instead of supermarkets meant I was paying a lot more for my groceries. A National Institute of Health survey recently found that milk can cost 11 to 14% more at those stores, apples and bananas 10 to 53% more, and cereal can cost as much as 54% more. So, for your regular food shopping, keep more money in your wallet and head on over to the supermarket. For more tips on saving, text MONEY to 88285. This is Carrie Joy saying take good care.
This weather update is sponsored by Hansen HVAC Heating and Cooling, your local Armstrong Air dealer of Phillips and Manitouish Waters.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. A mix of clouds and sunshine today. Gusty north winds, highs in the middle teens. Mostly cloudy skies tonight. Temperatures dropping to the upper single digits. A north breeze will continue. On Monday, partly sunny skies. Highs will top out near 20. It's 6 degrees below zero at our studios.
This week on Viewpoints.
While there certainly are harms out there, we're throwing out the potential benefits that can also occur to people who want to try to use social media responsibly with their children.
Why did Australia pass a law banning social media for kids? Then
they finally have decided that I'm not waiting anymore. I am doing that thing that I've always wanted to do, and that in many occasions tends to be travel.
More women are stepping outside their comfort zone and embracing solo travel. I'm Marty Peterson.
And I'm Gary Price. These stories in depth this week on your public affairs magazine, Viewpoints.
What's that sound? That's the sound of Downy Unstoppable scent beads going into your washing machine and giving your clothes freshness that lasts all day long. There it is again. It's like music to your ears, or more like music to your nose. That freshness is irresistible. Let's get a Downy Unstoppables bottle shake. And now a sniff solo. Nice. With Downy Unstoppables, you just toss, wash, wow, for all day freshness.
The Radio Health Journal podcast gives listeners the latest news on what's trending in health, science, technology, and more.
The fact that we saw remission in 37% of patients at week 3 after just a single administration is something that's really encouraging to us.
Featuring medical experts who break down complex topics in a way that's easy to understand. Radio Health Journal podcast, available wherever you find your favorite podcasts and at radiohealthjournal.org.
Whether or not and how much young adults should use social media has been a controversial topic since the rise of platforms like Instagram, TikTok, and X. Unlike previous generations, most Americans under age 35 have never known a world without these apps. While today's kids grow up immersed in the digital world, some argue that their access to these platforms should be more tightly controlled. And now governments have started to take action. In fact, one country just passed a landmark law restricting children's social media use.
Australia just recently passed into law a bill that would essentially ban people under 16 from engaging with social media of various kinds. There's no carve out. You can't get a note from a parent or something like that. There's no way for people under 16 in Australia to legally access social media. And social media companies are required by law now to sort of police their platforms to prevent children from getting on.
That's David Insera, Fellow for Free Expression and Technology at the Cato Institute. The law, which is planned to take effect this year, will force tech giants like TikTok and Meta to implement restrictions designed to keep minors off their platforms. Insera says failure to do so could result in fines totaling tens of millions of dollars a year. According to a poll by the Australian Broadcasting Company, 60% of Australians supported the ban before it became law. What were their concerns? Julie Skelfo, founder and executive director of Mothers Against Media Addiction, says unrestricted social media access is affecting the mental health of young adults.
The rise of constant access to smartphones, social media, and the internet is causing the mental health crisis in children and adolescents. In the United States, for example, we have been in what the American Academy of Pediatrics calls a national emergency in youth mental health since 2021. What's happening on social media is that the way the algorithms have been written is to amplify the most extreme, the most possible harmful content to children. And kids are seeing things that no child should be exposed to, like violence, self-harm, unrealistic beauty standards. And they're seeing it in such quantity and frequency that it's actually replacing healthier experiences that they would be having if they were socializing in person with other friends.
In the U.S., there's been an alarming rise of depression, anxiety, and other mental health disorders among young adults. According to Yale School of Medicine, suicide deaths among 10 to 24-year-olds have risen 62% from 2007 to 2021. Researchers point to several different factors for this rise, including the COVID pandemic, substance abuse, and bullying. But they're also raising alarm bells about the potential mental health effects of social media. In 2023, the American Psychological Association issued a health advisory on social media use in adolescents. Skelfo shares similar concerns and says these apps are fueling an addiction to screens that may have long-lasting effects.
We are seeing that teenagers today are spending as much as 9 hours a day on a screen. I mean, think about that. 9 hours a day all week is more than a full-time job. So all of that time that they're experiencing life through screens, that is displaced time that they would have been experiencing life through interpersonal interactions. So what's happening is kids are not getting the building blocks they need to learn how to relate to other people, to learn how to conduct themselves. And we're hearing even from employers, for example, that the young generation doesn't have basic skills like looking people in the eye and learning how to de-escalate a conflict.
Despite the downsides, it's important to recognize that social media is not all bad for every teenager. For kids with family living far away or friends at different schools, these platforms provide an easy way to stay connected. Social media can also be a vital source of support as many young LGBTQ individuals look for support. While there are pros and cons to adolescent social media use, Insera believes that restricting these apps should be a parent's decision, not the government's.
If you're a parent who wants to empower your kid to responsibly use some element of social media, you don't have a choice anymore. So we've simply removed that choice from parents and just said the state will govern your child in this area, which I think is a bad approach. And it will, while there certainly are harms out there, we're throwing out the potential benefits that can also occur to people who want to try to use social media responsibly with their children. And that should be up to every individual parent to decide how they want to do that. That choice is now gone.
Skelfo, however, disagrees with the idea that parents are able to protect their kids from potential harm. A mom of three, she says that even the most proactive parents can't control for everything on social media. She argues that legislators need to step in and regulate these platforms the same way they regulate addictive substances like alcohol and tobacco.
Big tech is using the exact same playbook that was used by big tobacco. And once we realized how bad cigarettes were, big tobacco said, oh, you know, it's not our job to make sure people are healthy. That's up to individuals to do. There is no way a parent can be responsible for monitoring absolutely everything their child sees online. And just like an individual parent can't make sure the roads are safe or can't make sure the food supply is safe, we need solutions that are, you know, built in and help make sure the entire system has safeguards for children.
Many parents agree with Skelfo that more guardrails are needed, but what might they look like? Once the Australian ban takes effect, Sincera says it's likely all social media users will have to provide some form of government ID to prove their age. Although companies are promising to keep this data safe and secure, it's possible personal information could get into the wrong hands. And Sarah also warns that these age verification measures could restrict free speech, which affects both kids and adults.
Even adults who are engaging in anonymous speech online, those users' speech, that anonymous speech might no longer be anonymous if the information gets hacked, if there's something goes wrong on the cybersecurity side. And so every bit of anonymous speech that we care about, whether it be whistleblowers, whether it be dissidents, whether it be just minority groups that want to speak up on a difficult issue in one way or another, all of that speech, which is easier when it's anonymous, all that speech is now potentially something that could be outed if something goes wrong on the data systems of the companies. That's a pretty big problem for speech, and it affects all adults, not just the kids who are just excluded from the platforms entirely.
Skelfo says potential security concerns are worth the risk if it means protecting more young adults.
Some of the social media companies said, oh, we don't want to collect that data. It's a privacy issue. Well, guess what? When their internal documents were revealed, it showed that they already know their algorithms are so sophisticated that they can tell when a child lies and says they're 13, but they're actually 11. And they even collected data on how often our 11-year-olds or 12-year-olds were so addicted to Instagram that they were up at 1 a.m. 2 a.m. on school nights because they couldn't put it away. So yes, there is some sacrifice of privacy if we age gate certain products, but I think it's a small price to pay for ensuring that our children are kept safe and putting an end to the national emergency in youth mental health.
Australia is not the only country to consider legislation around youth and social media. In July of last year, the United States Senate passed the Kids Online Safety Act with bipartisan support. The bill lays out guidelines to shield children from harmful material online and requires platforms to disable addicting features like infinite scrolling and personalized content feeds for minors. With Australia's social media ban for youth taking effect soon, many are wondering if the U.S. will follow suit with similar legislation. To find out more about Julie Scalfo, David and Sarah, and all our featured guests, visit viewpointsradio.org. For more behind the scenes, check out Viewpoints Radio on X, Facebook, and Instagram. This segment was written and produced by Grace Galante. Our lead producer is Libby Foster. Our executive producer is Amira Zaveri. Studio production by Jason Dickey. I'm Gary Price.
Coming up, why more women are choosing to travel alone when Viewpoints returns.
At Charmin, we heard you shouldn't talk about going to the bathroom in public, so we decided to sing about it.
Charmin Ultra Strong. You can use less, better than the rest. Charmin Ultra Strong. Your booty past the clean text. Yeah. Salmon wave texture, it's the best. Study up, teach a lesson on fresh. Your booty past the clean text.
Yes, sir.
Charmin Ultra Strong.
Charmin Ultra Strong with diamond weave texture cleans better than the leading one-ply brand, so you can use less. Enjoy the go with Charmin.
What's better than one win? Three wins. With Straight Savings, you keep your own phone, get one line for only $25 a month with real unlimited data, and get rewarded with a $200 phone credit after 12 months. It's a win-win-win. Head to Walmart or visit straighttalk.com today. Switch to Straight Talk. Less dollars, more sense. Straight Savings Plan enrollment requires compatible unlocked device and new line of service. Bonus device credit requires 12 months of active service. Offer ends if eligibility requirements are no longer met. Taxes and fees apply. For network management practices, see Straight Talk's terms and conditions.
So the thing no one tells you about periods is that your flow changes every day, and so should your tampon size. Tampax has 5 absorbencies to match your changing flow. If it's uncomfortable to remove, go down a size. If it leaks, go up a size. And only Tampax has a leak guard braid to help give you up to 100% leak and odor-free protection, all-day comfort and protection for up to 8 hours for under $5 a month, based on average U.S. consumer usage at manufacturer suggested price. However, pricing is at the sole discretion of the retailer. Excludes account pack.
The Radio Health Journal podcast gives listeners the latest news on what's trending in health, science, technology, and more.
The fact that we saw remission in 37% of patients at week 3 after just a single administration is something that's really encouraging to us.
Featuring medical experts who break down complex topics in a way that's easy to understand. Radio Health Journal podcast, available wherever you find your favorite podcasts and at radiohealthjournal.org.
Travel has long been a way to escape routine, find independence, and explore cultures outside our own. Almost 2 decades ago, Elizabeth Gilbert's memoir, Eat, Pray, Love, brought solo travel into the spotlight. The book was a worldwide success. More than 12 million copies were sold, and it was translated into more than 30 languages. Today, in the age of social media, travel influencers act as modern tour guides, sharing images of themselves in exotic locations across the globe. And now, women from all walks of life are packing their bags and embracing the freedom of solo travel.
What has perhaps, I think, been the biggest driver is this visibility. Seeing more and more women online talking about their solo trips and talking about this, the goods and the bads, and bringing more awareness to the fact that it is a travel option and you can absolutely do it. Whereas maybe 10 years before, people would think, like, traveling solo, like, is that even a possibility, right?
That's Mar Podges, co-founder of the international travel company Solo Female Travelers. According to the nonprofit organization Rhodes Scholar, 85% of solo travelers are women. It's also estimated that women spent around $125 billion on solo travel in 2023,
That's according to Condor Ferries. Since 2015, Podges and her business partner have built a Facebook community of more than 400,000 women from 100 countries who exchange tips on solo travel. Her company also offers tour packages where women traveling alone can join groups of other female travelers. Podges herself has gone to more than 70 countries on her own. So, what is it about this kind of travel that she enjoys?
You are just far more likely to meet people and make connections when you're by yourself. You are more likely to notice what's happening around you and to make connections, maybe eye contact or to talk to people, because you're not engrossed into conversation with the person next to you, right? So I think that this side effect is also what makes solo travel way more enriching for me.
For many people, the idea of taking a solo trip can be intimidating. Gloria Hill usually travels with friends or family from her home in Virginia. A visit to Tanzania was on her bucket list for many years, but she wasn't able to get anyone to commit to the trip. But in September of last year, she decided to take the plunge and embark on her first solo adventure. Hill says she was a little apprehensive about traveling alone, especially when she first arrived.
Usually there's someone else that's looking out for me. And so just when I got there, I was just like, oh my goodness, anything could happen to me and no one would know. And I was just concerned about like health-wise and just logistic-wise and all of the things that you can be concerned with when it comes to travel. But once I got there, all of those fears just went away.
Hill says she especially enjoyed learning about the culture and connecting with the local community while she was in Tanzania.
I think travel is just important as far as learning more about different cultures, different points of view. Tanzania was a really great place to go for solo travel. The people there were very friendly, very hospitable. I felt very safe in that country. Traveling solo, it gave me a lot more independence. It gave me a much more knowledge about my own strength.
While interest in solo travel among women is growing, safety remains a concern for many. The U.S. State Department warns that women may face additional health and security risks while traveling. As a result, there are countless online resources and forums offering tips and advice for women in different countries. Podges says that for this reason, many women choose to begin with solo group trips, which provide the support of a larger group while still allowing for the freedom and independence of being an individual traveler.
It gets recommended in the group a lot when members will say, I want to travel to this place, but I don't have anybody to go with, and I'm anxious about doing it by myself. A lot of other members will answer, why don't you join a group tour? And I've heard this also from a lot of our guests that on their first tour, they were happier and more at ease and more comfortable joining a group tour where they didn't have to plan the itinerary and where they were already going to be in a set environment that's safer and more comfortable and more convenient and more predictable, rather than having all of the variables up in the air.
While some hotels and tour companies are beginning to market to the growing audience of solo travelers, Podges says the majority of the travel industry still primarily targets couples or families. Sometimes there are even extra charges imposed on people traveling alone.
And this kind of comes historically from the cruise industry, because of course you have a certain availability of rooms. And so you want to maximize the number of people in those rooms. So selling a room to one person means that you're only having that one person spending. So you want two people. If you're only going to have one, you need to charge them a supplement, which historically, in the case of cruise ships, tends to be 200%. You have to pay for two people.
While the industry is working to catch up, women are continuing to pursue freedom, self-care, and self-discovery through travel. Podges says this is especially true for women over 60 who might not want to wait on their travel dreams.
But now suddenly they are empty nesters or widowed or divorced, or there's some traumatic experience that has happened in their life, which could be anything. And they finally have decided that I'm not waiting anymore. I am doing that thing that I've always wanted to do. And that in many occasions tends to be travel, taking that trip to Italy that my husband always promised he would take me on, or, you know, that trip to Australia that has always been on my bucket list, or this, I've always wanted to see the Northern Lights, or I've always wanted to go on safari. And why do I need to wait on other people to go on safari or for somebody to take me? I can just do it by myself.
One advantage to traveling in the digital age is that there is no shortage of options. Whether you're after fast-paced adventures, calm beach retreats, or cultural experiences, there are plenty of resources online to help you choose. For people who are ready to pursue their passion for travel and embark on new adventures but are unsure of where to begin, Podges and Gloria Hill have this advice.
Start by keeping some of the variables constant so that you don't just like make it all different. You go to a different country with a different language, with a different culture, in a different time zone, everything different. No, keep some of the things constant by maybe taking a short weekend trip to a city in your own country first. See how you feel. See what things are challenging to you. It will be the same culture. It will be the same language, probably the same time zone. And so some of the things are already constant and you can focus on the things that are not constant, which is maybe eating by yourself, finding your ways around, meeting new people, discovering a new city. So start small by something in your own country.
If you have somewhere that you want to go, but you're scared to go by yourself and you don't have a group of people that are willing to go with you, then find a group. There's so many places out there between social media and in-person events. You can find a group. I mean, I have a travel agent and she creates all these packages for people. And it's like people that read certain books and people that go to certain festivals and they then plan a trip. So I feel like it's easier than you probably think.
To find out more about Gloria Hill, Mar Podges, and all our featured guests, visit viewpointsradio.org. For more behind the scenes, check out Viewpoints Radio on X, Facebook, and Instagram. This segment was written and produced by Erica Linney. Our lead producer is Libby Foster. Our executive producer is Amira Zaveri. Studio production by Jason Dickey. I'm Marty Peterson.
Viewpoints returns in just a moment.
Spilled your drink? Quick, the quicker picker-upper. Bounty picks up spills quicker. And each sheet is 2 times more absorbent, so you can use less than the leading ordinary brand. So you can get back to your night. Bounty, the quicker picker-upper.
You okay?
Sorry, I can't sleep with this cough.
Sounds like you need to vaporize that cold.
Vaporize?
Yeah, with NyQuil VapoCool. It's NyQuil plus a rush of Vicks Vapors.
Whoa.
So you're ready to get some sleep? Thank you, NyQuil VapoCool.
NyQuil VapoCool, the vaporizing nighttime coughing, aching, fever, best sleep with a cold medicine. And to vaporize sore throat pain, try Vicks VapoCool drops. Use as directed. Keep out of reach of children.
This is Viewpoint Explained. I'm Ebony McMorris. When it comes to parenting, there's no one-size-fits-all approach, but a new study suggests that humor might be a powerful tool to have in your parenting toolkit. According to a pilot study led by researchers from Penn State, parents who used humor while their kids were growing up were viewed more positively by their adult children. The study, which was published in the PLOS ONE Journal, gathered data from more than 300 people ages 18 to 45. Researchers discovered that 71% of the respondents believe humor can be an effective parenting tool. The majority also said they would use humor-based techniques with their own kids. Dr. Benjamin Levi, senior authority of the study and a professor at Penn State College of Medicine, explains that humor can help parents reduce stress and help build cognitive and emotional flexibility. He points out that parenting can be stressful, and humor is a great way to ease the tension and make those tough times feel a little more manageable for everyone involved. While this data is still emerging, one thing that's clear, as the old saying goes, laughter really might be the best medicine. According to the Mayo Clinic, laughter can improve mood, stimulate your organs, relieve stress, and boost your overall satisfaction. So why not try injecting a little more humor into your parenting routine? As long as the jokes aren't at your kids' expense, go ahead and throw in those corny quips, classic dad jokes, or even a harmless prank now and then. It could help make the daily grind just a little bit lighter. That's Viewpoints Explained for this week. Stay tuned. More in a moment.
Welcome to Culture Crash, where we examine what's new and old in entertainment. In the summer of 2023, Christopher Nolan released Oppenheimer, a juggernaut of a film that grossed almost $1 billion and won the Oscar for Best Picture. Just like when his 2017 war film Dunkirk exceeded expectations at the box office and with critics, or when Nolan released The Dark Knight in 2008 or Inception in 2010, Oppenheimer sparked discussions about what exactly brings audiences to theaters in droves for Christopher Nolan films. Well, the recent IMAX re-release of Nolan's 2014 space epic Interstellar presented a great opportunity for me and millions of dollars of ticket sales worth of others to consider that question all over again. Interstellar has always been an absolute feast for the senses. With large swaths of the movie shot directly onto IMAX film, some of the biggest, most heart-pounding set pieces imaginable, and one of the greatest film scores ever recorded, Interstellar, like all Nolan movies, was made to be enjoyed as big and as loud as possible. And ultimately, that's what sets Nolan apart from other filmmakers. His movies always feel like events. Seeing a Nolan film in IMAX is more like going to the best concert you've ever experienced in your life than it is like just watching an hour or two of so-called content. He puts big ideas and big performances into motion and then captures them in the highest resolution possible. The fact is, Nolan films being shown in IMAX theaters will always draw a crowd because he uses every tool at his disposal to fill even the biggest canvases imaginable. Interstellar is an incredible film, and that remains true at home. But some things are just best served in certain venues, and those who went to see Oppenheimer or Interstellar in IMAX will tell you that format simply puts Christopher Nolan's work over the top every time. I'm Evan Rook.
You carry a lot. The needs of your family and friends, the responsibilities of work and home, and that doesn't stop when your period starts. New Always Ultra Thin pads are designed to keep up with your busy life. When an unexpected gush hits, you need to trust that your pad has your back and your flow. With new and improved Rapid Dry technology, Always Ultra Thin now absorbs 3 times faster than the leading size 2 store brand pad, so you can feel cleaner, drier, and fresher. Always Ultra Thin. Always gush ready.
What's better than one win? 3 wins? With Straight Savings, you keep your own phone, get one line for only $25 a month with real unlimited data, and get rewarded with a $200 phone credit after 12 months. It's a win-win-win. Head to Walmart or visit straighttalk.com today. Switch to Straight Talk. Less dollars, more sense. Straight Savings Plan enrollment requires compatible unlocked device and new line of service. Bonus device credit requires 12 months of active service. Offer ends if eligibility requirements are no longer met. Taxes and fees apply. For network management practices, see Straight Talk's terms and conditions.
And that's Viewpoints for this week. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram to learn more about upcoming shows and find a library of past programs on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and Spotify. Plus, you'll always find previous segments and more information about our guests at viewpointsradio.org. Join us again next week for another edition of Viewpoints.
The right mix for all of Price County. This is Trail Mix 103.1.
The dark side's calling out of the misery. She'll never know just how I feel. Out of the shadows, she walks like a dream.
listening to 103.1 FM and 980 AM WPFP Park Falls. This is Trail Mix 103.1.